The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Hal Schurz.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz. And every week, myself and my co-host, Dr. Scott, come to you with information that doctors are talking about in doctors' lounges all across the country. We try to inform you about healthcare issues and give you the information that you need so that you can advocate for your family and for your healthcare and the healthcare of your family and be able to make the appropriate decisions regarding that. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is the sponsor of the Doctor's Lounge. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. We stand for the principles of the doctor-patient relationship and for healthcare freedom for all Americans. So support us. Go to our website at d4pcfoundation.org. That's docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. We need your continued help and support so that we can continue bringing the fight to those who want to control your healthcare and trying to really make a difference. Hopefully this radio show makes a difference and the work that we do around the country does as well. So please, you can support what we're doing with a very minor or a very generous contribution, which is tax deductible. So please go to your computer today, d4pcfoundation.org. So this is the Doctor's Lounge. We talk about things. We bring to you the topics that doctors are talking about around the country. And doctors are talking about politics. And it's just unavoidable. And it is so important. It has really, it has dwarfed everything that's happening right now because it is so important. It is the quintessential issue right now of which direction we're going to go in. And people are talking about this everywhere, including in hospitals and in clinics and anywhere where people are getting together. You know, politics is the third rail along with religion, but nonetheless, when we're talking about trying to figure out what the direction of this country is going, where we're going to go, what we're going to look like, it's really impossible to let this go. And I'm going to weave in today some healthcare issues with regard to the potential Kamala Harris presidency, because it is frightening. But in the course of doing this, I'm going to share with you some random thoughts about what is going on that is so obvious and so in our face right now with the Democrat National Convention. The first thing that is just so noticeable is how orchestrated and phony this convention really is. The people who are speaking at this convention are saying nothing. They are just out there to spin a fairy tale and make everybody think that there is nothing wrong with what they're doing and everything wrong with the personality of Donald Trump. It's just, you know, believable. It's everywhere where they get this, the playbook given to them. They say the same thing over and over and over again. And what is really disappointing is the stupidity of the American public and how they are incapable of seeing what is in front of their eyes and instead grasping a false narrative and believing that there is nothing wrong right now because this is what these people in the Democratic Party are trying to tell them. When you look at these random interviews that the correspondents on Fox are conducting at the Democrat National Convention, and they are asking people what they like about Kamala Harris, what policy of hers particularly stirs them and makes them excited and energized. They don't have a clue. They don't know anything because she's done nothing, but they like the vibe. They like what is happening with the rhetoric that she's spinning, her joy and her laugh and her hopefulness. You know, I was listening to one of the many shows that I listen to on conservative radio stations, and somebody was trying to compare what is going on with Kamala to Barack Obama. You know, when Obama was president, he won the Nobel Prize after just 9 months in office. He had done nothing, zero. But they gave him the Nobel Prize because of his efforts in international relations and helping to create peace in the world, which, of course, he did nothing of the sort. But they wanted to give him a trophy because it felt good. And that's exactly what's happening with Kamala Harris. They're giving her a trophy. They are trying to create something out of nothing. And believe me, there is nothing there. In fact, there's a lot of negative things. If you recall, when before the Biden-Trump debate, when the media was saying that Joe Biden needed to dump Kamala Harris because she was a liability and she was the most unlikable person that Joe Biden could have on his ticket, and they were concerned whether or not that would harm his chances of reelection. They were ready to look at other potential vice president candidates. Now that Joe was dumped by the powers that be, and make no mistake about it, this was a coup in the Democrat Party. This was a bloodless coup, totally non-democratic, which these people claim to be the gatekeepers of democracy. All of a sudden, she went from being the most unpopular politician in the Democratic Party to the next coming of Barack Obama. And it's just so disappointing that the public is not smarter than this and unwilling to look past what they're hearing and believe what they're seeing before their very eyes. In every aspect of our society, there are so many problems that are the direct responsibility of the Democrat Party, which is no longer the Democrat Party, by the way. It is the Marxist Party. It is the Socialist Party. These are the people who are the biggest threat to our country. And they have taken over the Democrat Party. There is no more Democrat Party. If you want proof of that, beside the fact that people who were lifelong Democrats are no longer willing to be on board with the Democrat Party, people like Alan Dershowitz, who is persona non grata in the Democrat Party, people who are the list is quite long, but the one that is really the most, I think, startling right now is RFK Jr., who is ready, poised to make an announcement that he's going to support Donald Trump. And how is that even possible? Well, it's because RFK Jr. is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. He is not a socialist. He is not a Marxist. He may have some ideas that are a little bit wacky. But if you sit down and you talk with liberals, you will find that you can find common ground with those people on at least 75% of issues. The solutions may not be the same, but they recognize the problems and would agree that they are real problems that need to be solved. The rub is trying to find the common ground how to solve those problems. But if you talk to the Marxists who have taken over the Democrat Party, there is nothing, zero, that they agree with conservatives in this country. They are the enemy of conservatism. They are the enemy of the United States. And they want to see a complete change, a complete overhaul in this country. And so that's why RFK Jr. is willing to throw his support to Donald Trump, because the choices today are really just binary. It's whether or not we are going to become a socialist country, which is the end of the United States, or whether or not we want to walk back many of the policies that have been implemented in progressive Marxist regimes, which we have had for 12 out of the last 16 years. And it's getting worse and worse, and we are at the tipping point where if this continues, it is going to be impossible to walk back. Let's talk a little bit about healthcare. So what Kamala wants to do is create Medicare for all. What does that mean, Medicare for all? Well, before I tell you exactly what that means, she is a chameleon. First of all, she's not said anything. She has not given an interview. She has not given a press conference. She is engaged in the Biden hide in your basement campaign. And you know what? It's working. It's working again because the media is corrupt. They cannot be trusted. And the American public, half the American public is stupid, and they will not demand more from the person who is interviewing to become the next president of the United States. Shame on all those people. You know, my sister and I couldn't be more opposite when it comes to politics. And I troll her on Facebook. I don't go on Facebook. I just don't want to engage. It's a waste of time, and I just really refuse to participate. But I do like to see what she is posting, and because some of it is actually of interest to me because it involves my family. But much of what she posts or reposts has to do with her support of what's going on with the Democrats. And she was gushing about these speakers at the Democrat National Convention. She thought that they were superb. She was saying right on to the things that they're saying. And I just want to shake her and say to her, what is it that you are not seeing about what's going on that gives you any sense of confidence that these people, if they are put into power, is going to make life better for any of us? And she's one of half the country who is hypnotized, who has become lazy they've become intransigent. They have a refusal to even listen to things that would be contrary to their way of thinking. It's basically called cognitive dissonance. There's a psychiatric term for that. You know, you will not look at things that are contrary to your belief system, because you do not want your belief system to be shaken, because that's who you are. But people need to come to the realization that these people are not friendly to the average Americans. They do not want people to be empowered. They want to control you. And that's what Marxism is all about. And it comes, you know, it comes full circle with your health care. If you think for one second that you are going to have a better health care system with these people in power, you are so wrong. You are so mistaken. And take it from somebody who really is involved with healthcare every single day. I live and breathe this and have done so for the better part of, almost 50 years. And I can tell you that the slippery slope that we're heading down is one which nobody is going to be happy about. You remember Obamacare. If you like your doctor, you can keep them. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it. If you like where your health care is going to be delivered, you could go there. None of that was true. It was all lies. And people should realize that that was a lie. And what we're being told right now is more of the same. So, Medicare for All. What does that mean? So Medicare for All is a single payer system. Now, you seniors out there who listen to this podcast, or those of you who are listening and have the ability to share this with a senior, should be paying very close attention to what I'm going to tell you. Because if you expect to get your Medicare benefits in the future, it will not occur in a single payer system. Once that happens and there is Medicare for All, your Medicare benefits are going to disappear. They're not going to be the same. They can't be the same. First of all, the Medicare system is on the verge of bankruptcy as it is. Medicare survives because people pay into it with their deductions that come out of their salary. And as we have a shrinking workforce and less people who are paying payroll taxes and the other taxes that help pay for Medicare, that pot is shrinking. Second of all, healthcare is more expensive. Why is it more expensive? Because the cost of doing business has gone up in no small part because of government interference, because of the inability to allow healthcare to be a free market system where prices could come down. Instead, they've gone up, including the costs for Medicare. The average person, they say, and I don't know if these numbers are real, but they say that the average Medicare recipient is getting $3 for every $1 that they pay into the system. So given all the things that I've just told you, without some significant changes to the Medicare system, the whole system will collapse. Now, there are changes that have been proposed by conservatives, by Republicans, that would help to save Medicare. And I don't want to go into that specifically today, but let me just tell you one that would really, that I embrace and I think is very important. And that is to give Medicare recipients control of the dollars that they spend so that they can become consumers and find the healthcare that makes sense for them instead of being told where they need to go and how much they need to spend and what the Medicare allowable is. And the whole system needs to be revamped, but patients need to be given control over how their healthcare dollars are spent. So getting back to a single payer healthcare system, what this means is it's a universal healthcare coverage, which would replace the current mix of private and public health insurance. And by the way, the term public health means government health. And government health means something very different than what you are currently experiencing, just like government education, just like government trains, just like government delivery of mail. Well, the whole concept of government-run healthcare should be frightening to every single American. So this concept of Medicare for All, or universal health coverage, was first introduced by Congressman John Conyers in 2003. And it was, you know, it was a sort of a fringe idea back then. But as the progressives have become more powerful, their voices have become more plentiful and stronger, it has gained steam. And it was reintroduced by none other than Bernie Sanders in 2023. And by the way, Kamala was a co-sponsor of the 2017 version of the Medicare for All. And she again was a co-sponsor of the Senate bill addressed by Bernie Sanders. Now the Sanders bill, which is really the Kamala Harris bill, it lowers the eligibility age for Medicare over a 4-year period to include everyone. So that means seniors, your Medicare benefits will be diluted because that pot of money is going to have to cover everybody. Now they'll put other monies into it, but there's no possible way it can cover everybody. This plan covers dental, vision, hearing aids, and those who, for all of those who are not eligible for those services under current law. Medicare Part A and Part B would be eliminated. That's hospitalization and covering your care when you go to see your doctor. And copays would be eliminated, with some exceptions for some prescription drugs. And I'll get to prescription drugs in a minute. It will be illegal, against the law, for commercial payers and employers to sell or offer policies that duplicate benefits provided under the single payer system. So if you think that, okay, well, this plan is a great idea, I think it's going to cover everybody, but I don't have to worry about this because I'll be able to go out and I can afford to get my own insurance. That's not what Uncle Sam has in store for you if the progressives are in power. They don't want to give you the opportunity to have your own choice of health care. Now, individual states would be permitted to offer additional benefits, like in California, if they want to allow abortion up till 40 weeks. If that's not covered in universal health care from the federal government, they can do that. So in the past, let's just talk about Kamala Harris, who right now is not saying anything, but a leopard does not change its spots. So even if she tells you that, oh, no, no, those were things I believed in the past, but I have evolved, that is just a bunch of BS, because the minute she becomes president, just like Joe Biden, the minute he became president, or Barack Obama, the minute he became president, they went ahead and moved from what seemed to be a centrist position all the way to the left. And Kamala Harris is the most left of all of those people. She's further left than Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, any of them. She is a California George Soros district attorney. If you like the district attorneys in Los Angeles, Gascon, you like the attorney general in New York, you like the attorney general, I'm sorry, the district attorneys in California, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Chicago, all George Soros district attorneys, that's Kamala Harris. She's a George Soros, San Francisco, Marxist district attorney. The commercials that she puts on about how tough she is and how she was like a crusader is just spinning a new bunch of lies and trying to create a new person that never existed and make you believe that she's something other than who she is. But she is the same person that she has always been. Now, Kamala took the Medicare for All position during her presidential run in 2019. And when this plan was rebuked for being too expensive and counter to consumer preferences, she walked it back, just like she's doing right now. And she said that she would be in favor of a more moderate insurance reform strategy. But that is just absolutely, you know, that's just not true. Water break, I'm sorry. She said that how would we pay for this expensive plan that was criticized as being unsustainable financially? Well, she's going to increase taxes. That's how she's going to do it. And it will be taxes on anyone who is making in excess of $100,000. So just think about this for a second. If you're a teacher and you are a police officer, a couple, who between the two of you are doing okay, you're maybe making $120,000, $150,000 because you have been a teacher for a while and you've been a policeman for a while, you're going to be paying I don't know how much more tax, and we will, and what are you going to be paying those taxes for? Not just for health care for all Americans, but health care for all illegal aliens that Kamala Harris has invited into this country and is continuing to invite into this country. And when the number of illegal aliens becomes critical mass, and I don't know when we get to that point, but it's not far in the future, you are going to no longer be getting health care in a timely fashion, because they will jump the line and they will supersede your opportunities to get health care. And we're seeing that in many ways with DEI types of initiatives, diversity, equity, inclusion. How much longer will it be before illegal aliens fall into this DEI category and they supersede Americans who work and pay taxes and who have every expectation that the country is going to protect them? You need to wake up, people. You need to pay attention, because this is what is happening. In 2019, she also sponsored legislation which someone termed Medicare X. And this would create a new public insurance option under the Affordable Care Act, but it wouldn't eliminate private insurance. This may be the out with how the oligarchs in the country, like Kamala Harris and all of the other Marxists in Congress and in blue state capitals around the country, can continue to get their health insurance or their health care while the masses are ineligible or incapable of accessing that. But remember, the public insurance option means the government insurance option. And so when you have a government insurance option, there won't be any private companies that will be around any longer to administer healthcare benefits, because you can't compete against the government. They will undercut every private insurance company. If you remember back in 2008, I know that's very hard for some people to think back that far, but I remember it like it was yesterday when Obama was introducing Obamacare. There were 180, no, I'm sorry, I got that number wrong. There were 1,800, I got that wrong by a factor of 10. There were 1,800 insurance companies, many small, some large, that decided to get out of the insurance business because they realized they could not compete against the government. One of the major ones that I remember very distinctly is Prudential. Prudential was a major healthcare provider. We were major Prucare providers in our practice. And as soon as Obamacare was introduced, they bolted. They went to the exits because they knew that they no longer could be profitable in the healthcare insurance business. And that's what's going to happen with public insurance options. So now Kamala Harris is distancing herself again from her private positions, her prior positions, and instead she's taking the Joe Biden approach, which is to strengthen the Affordable Care Act. But strengthening this Affordable Care Act is simply a bridge to the ultimate utopian Marxist goal of the government controlling your health care. She is now saying the latest thing is that she wants to work to cancel medical debt. Now, medical debt is a horrible thing for people to have to suffer through. And the reasons for that are because of the expensive nature of our health care, mostly because of hospital care, which has become outrageously expensive, and because of prescription drugs. And both of those issues need to be addressed with a more robust system where there is free market choices. And when there is a free market choice, every single time that there are free market choices in any business, the prices come down. When you have government control of things, like what she's trying to say we should be doing with government control over food, over food pricing, because she is trying to convince the country that the high cost of groceries right now isn't because of their abominable economic policies that have led to inflation and increased prices, where food prices are 30% higher than they had been under the Trump administration. No, they're trying to say that these high costs of groceries is because the food companies are price gouging and they're taking advantage of the American people. That is so wrong, so obtuse, and such a smokescreen. And again, if people believe this, they are so ignorant and need to just get themselves educated to see the lies that these people are spinning. The food companies have between a 1 and 1.5% margin. They don't make very much money. But if all of their costs go up, because of trucking, because of energy, because of the shipping, because of everything that has been affected by their absolutely lousy economic policies that have led to this, that's not price gouging. Price gouging is when you have a hurricane and you've got somebody, a store, that has water and is selling bottles of water for $5 a bottle of water. That's price gouging. This is not price gouging. This is businesses who wish to stay in business, who wish to remain in business, doing what they need to do in order to be able to provide continued services to the people that they're serving. And the only way that they can do that and stay viable with all the costs that they have is to raise the prices. And people need to understand that's not price gouging. This is poor economic policy on the part of the Marxist administration. And food controlling, price controls on food is exactly what has failed in other Marxist regimes, in Venezuela, in the Soviet Union, and it leads to shortages, because if you have a price control over a product, then the people who are producing those products are going to be disincentivized to continue to provide or to produce those goods. And there will be shortages. Do you remember what happened during COVID when you went to the store and you couldn't get hand sanitizer, you couldn't get toilet paper, you couldn't get paper towels, you couldn't get disinfectants? It was because there was no availability, because people were buying it up. But if there's no availability because it is not being produced, because the government won't let producers make a profit, then the shelves that you witnessed during COVID are going to be replicated under Kamala Harris price controls. This makes no sense. And by the way, we currently have price controls already in this country. We have them in healthcare. I cannot pass along my increased cost of doing business to the public because 97% of what I am currently doing right now is controlled by what insurance companies or the government are willing to pay me. And if I want to participate in those programs, I have to accept it. Regardless of whether or not my overhead's gone up because my rent has gone up, because the cost of my employees have gone up, because the cost of all the supplies that I need in my office has gone up. So what does that mean? It means that I have to eat it. I have to make less money. And this is why doctors are leaving medicine. This is why you're seeing fewer and fewer doctors, longer wait times to get to see your doctor. You're seeing consolidation in healthcare because of the way that the laws have permitted hospitals to buy up doctors who are struggling and can't stay in business. And that's one of the reasons why healthcare is in trouble right now. With a single payer system, this is more of what you're going to be seeing when there are more price controls in healthcare. This is all a slippery slope. It's all interconnected. It is anti-capitalist. So just going back to what I was saying, Kamala wants to cancel medical debt and remove it from nearly all credit reports, and she wants to cancel $7 billion of medical debt using money in the American Rescue Plan funds. Now, this American Rescue Plan, if you remember, was based on COVID relief. But the Democrats, the Marxists, they see a pot of money, and it doesn't really matter what the intent of that money was because it's not their money, it's your tax dollars, but they control it and they can spend it however they want. In this case, pandering to people who are suffering because of medical debt through not of their own doing, but the government will come to their rescue just like they're coming to the rescue of students who have student loan or other credit card loan. They're pandering. They want to give things to people and buy votes. And that's what they're doing by saying that they're going to forget medical debt. Now, you want to talk about price controls before I get off this subject. The Biden administration just passed a new plan to control the price of 10 expensive drugs. Now, you've seen these drugs on TV commercials every single night. You might not know what they're for, and it doesn't really matter what they're for. You see the commercials. It's just unbelievable. If anybody watches network news, and I have to tell you, I do, because I think it's important to see what is being said on the other side, as hard as this, as uncomfortable as it is to watch, but I do. And on a 30-minute news program, there's probably, on average, about 5 to 7 minutes of drug commercials. They just pummel people with them. And these are the drugs that are now up for price controls. Eliquist, Jardiance, Xarelto, Januvia, Farxiga, Entresto, Enbrel, Stelara, Imbruvica. You've heard these commercials every single night if you watch network news. This ability for the federal government to go to these drug companies and say, we are now negotiating these prices on Medicare drugs, was authorized in the Inflation Reduction Act. I love these terms. They give these acts, these bills, beautifully contrived names when they are actually accomplishing just the opposite of what the bills state that they're for. But these initial drugs were chosen from the list of the top 50 eligible Part D drugs that have the highest expenditures on Medicare. It accounts for $50 billion, or 20%, of the Part D Medicare drug costs between June of 2022 and May of 2023. Now, the government negotiating prices with the drug companies is not really a negotiation at all. The Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, has gone to these drug companies and said, this is what we are going to pay you. And if you want your drugs to remain in the Medicare program, you're going to take it. This is the mafia. This is holding a gun to their head. Now, I am no friend of the drug companies. Far from it. I am as critical as anybody. But let me just say one thing. The average cost of bringing a drug to market is $1 billion, number one. Number two, these companies are businesses. They have shareholders. They're responsible for their shareholders. And you have to run a business like a business. But they are trying to recoup their investment by charging ridiculous amounts of money. So instead of making them have to recoup their money in that 7-year window, or sometimes 14-year window, because if they make a little change in a patent, it will extend the patent for an additional 7 years. So instead of giving them such a limited window where the only way that they can make their money back is to charge ridiculous amounts of money, change the patent law. Give them a longer runway. Give them a 20-year runway or a 30-year runway. But that is tied to making sure that the costs of the drugs are reasonably priced. The other thing is get rid of the damn middlemen, the pharmacy benefit management companies that are directly responsible for the increase in prices and for taking the rebates from the American public, from the consumers, from the patients that they are entitled to, and keeping it for themselves. Most of these drugs have rebates that are associated with them that the drug companies are giving to encourage people to use their drugs and give them a break on cost. But if these pharmacy benefit management companies get involved in as middlemen between those patients and the drug companies, those rebates never get to the patients. Those are the things we need to do to reform the pharmaceutical industry. That's just part of the initial steps, not telling these companies, this is how much we're going to pay you. This is the slippery slope toward, again, government control of an industry. And so what they've done is they have gone to these companies and said, we demand a discount that will range from anywhere from 25 to 60% off of the current price. Now, these drug companies, they're thinking, okay, we can withstand this decrease in order to continue to provide these drugs on the current system, thinking that this will be the end, but it is far from the end. Before I get to that, the drug makers have until September 1st to decide if they wish to participate in this and to have a seat at the table or to pass. Now, after the initial round, the Secretary of HHS can negotiate, I love that word, negotiate another 15 drugs in 2027, again, another 15 drugs in 2028, and then in 2029, 20 drugs every year ad infinitum until all the drugs on Medicare Part D and those on Part B, the ones that doctors administer in their offices for their patients as a convenience, are covered. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about this. And before I do, the average or the expected savings is going to be $100 billion over 10 years. So they think that that will save the Medicare system and be able to convert it into Medicare for all and Medicare for all illegal aliens. As a practice, as a urology practice, we see many cancer patients, and we are able to treat the patients who have prostate cancer or bladder cancer in our practice and help them by having them come in and we give them their drugs. And so we pay for those drugs. We pass along the cost. We make a profit. That's how a business works. We don't make a big profit, but we make a profit. But the government doesn't want to see us make a profit at all. And once that happens, we're going to stop giving those cancer treatments to those patients. And we're going to say to them, look, you know what? We can't do this anymore. You're going to need to go to an oncologist to get them, and they won't be giving drugs either because their costs will be controlled, or they're going to have to go to the hospital and change their urologist. We're going to have to drop cancer care and have them go see a urologist at a hospital which is complicit with the federal government, and they're in cahoots with them, and they're able to somehow continue to give drugs to these patients. But ultimately, the care of these patients is going to suffer. It's going to be more inconvenient for the patients, and it will be a real mess. Now, this plan isn't a slam dunk because there are a lot of lawsuits that are out there. Because the pharmaceutical industry, which has very shrewd and cunning and powerful lawyers, contend that this program violates the Fifth Amendment's Takings Clause because it allows Medicare to obtain manufacturers' patented drugs, which are private property, without paying fair market value under the threat of serious penalties. This is sort of like eminent domain, but it is worse. It is government coming in and taking from a private business something that belongs to them and telling them that we're going to take this and this is how much money we're going to give you, and it doesn't matter what the fair market value is, we're only going to give you this amount of money. This is what happens, by the way, in the rest of the world with other socialized healthcare systems. They go to the pharmaceutical companies and they say, we're only paying X. We're not paying a penny more. And it's up to the companies whether or not they want to do business in those countries or not. Many of them do. Most of them do. And they pass along the costs in this country. Another practice which needs to be changed. But that's one of the arguments that will be levied against this plan being instituted. They also say, the pharmaceutical company lawyers, that it violates the First Amendment. It coerces manufacturers into saying that they agreed to the price that the government has dictated and said is fair, which, of course, they're not doing. They have a gun to their head. They have no choice. And finally, these lawyers are contending that it violates the Eighth Amendment, which is levying excessive fines if drug makers refuse to negotiate and continue selling their products to the Medicare market. So this is what price controls means. This is what it's all about. This is price control in healthcare. Same thing in food. It'll be the same thing in automobiles. It'll be the same thing in housing. It doesn't stop. It is just the beginning. And if you can't see this, then, you know, then make plans to either live in a Marxist society or start looking for real estate in Costa Rica or Panama or Italy. This is just, you know, where we are heading. So, you know, I think that the plans that we're hearing from the Democrats, from the Democrat National Convention, is that there is plans to give illegals a pathway to citizenship. This is the latest thing that we're hearing at their convention. We don't know what their plan is. You know, this is just more Obamacare. Remember when Nancy Pelosi got up and she said, we've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it? Well, this is the Kamala Harris candidacy. We've got to elect her to become president to find out what her policies are. We've got to pass the woman to find out what's in it. If you have a single working brain cell in your head, you need to think about what this is going to mean. And I know a lot of people don't like Donald Trump, don't like him as a person, think he's just a horrible person. But we're not voting for Donald Trump. We are voting for what kind of system we want our country to continue under. Do we want it to continue under a Marxist regime, or do we want it to continue under a democratic, a constitutional republic where people can elect their representatives to represent them, not to have oligarchs in power who are doing everything they can do to cheat and to steal and to lie and to make it so that they remain in power forever. And this is where we are. We're at the crossroads, folks. We're on the edge of the cliff. And you need to think about this. Think about the things that I just shared with you and be smart about it. I'll be back in the doctor's lounge in 2 weeks with more of this, I'm afraid, because I can't let this go until we get to the end of the road. So thanks for being with us today.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.